politics, life. Cross Kitchens, Kansas City's home remodeler, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at crosskitchenskc.com.
I'm really excited about this episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. We're going to do some headlines here at the start, and then Patrick Tuohy is going to join us. He's a senior fellow at the Show Me Institute, and easily one of the smartest people we've ever had on this podcast. You are going to love this. As primary season is here, and we've seen the headlines now with Trump and Haley, and we'll get to that, and KUK State. It's going to be a really great podcast. I want to remind you that if you would like to go to the Big 12 tournament next week at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, ticketsforless.com is your hookup for all the best seats, no fees ever, Better Business Bureau rated, a local company that offers nationwide service, and they offer you the opportunity to work locally, kind of old school. You can walk right in at 130th and Metcalf, and on the screen they'll show you the seating chart. You can pick your seats, or you can call the local number and speak with somebody right here in Kansas City, 913-685-3322. It's also simple just to log on to ticketsforless.com and use your promo code KKHI. That's the promo code KKHI. You will always save 5 to 15% whenever you purchase tickets at ticketsforless.com or on the phone or in person by mentioning the podcast and the promo code KKHI. Primary season is over nationally for president. There's a lot of big primaries still coming up. Kansas voting's getting ready to start taking place. Beginning in a few days, and we'll have some guests on related to that as well. And obviously, it's a big election year, and a lot of eyes and ears were on everything that Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Nikki Haley were doing and saying on Super Tuesday, which was the worst Super Tuesday ever because there was never any drama, and no drama was going to happen. But the result of this is Nikki Haley is finally out. She has decided on Wednesday morning she's done, she's out of money, she's not winning any of these races, and she's out. The big question now is, does Nikki Haley go rogue and try to join a third party or hurt Trump or do whatever and cannibalize this thing for Republicans, not conservatives, Republicans in America, because the Republicans voting for Nikki Haley, in my estimation, are not particularly conservative. They obviously love war, which I don't. I don't understand how we're involved in all these conflicts and funding all this stuff when we can't protect our own border, but we don't need to go over all the issues here today. Trump has won. He gave a terrific speech on Tuesday night where he was calm, talked about mostly Joe Biden and the failings of the Biden administration, which is a winner for Donald Trump. And I think you're going to see a different Trump through this campaign. He needs to work a little bit to get Nikki Haley somehow in the fold. I don't envision them on stage or her going and, you know, campaigning for him or something like that, but get her under the tent, get her under the umbrella. It was very interesting coverage on Tuesday night. As the major networks decided to have primetime coverage from 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock Central Time over Super Tuesday. They planned this months in advance because they can sell advertising. They anticipated big races and all this stuff. And ABC and CBS, when 9 o'clock comes, this is what Trump's, he knows the TV's coming on, Trump's going to come out during this hour. ABC and CBS don't air Trump. They don't show him. NBC did for 5 minutes before pulling out. MSNBC and CNN ran Trump live in his speech live for, I think, pretty much the entirety, as did Fox and all the other networks. But I am amazed that ABC and CBS made decisions to continue on with their one-hour primetime specials where they're going to talk about Donald Trump all hour but not have the man on. This is not journalism. This is not news. It's the definition of the opposite. It's bizarro world. You have a one-hour special that is basically lined up to highlight Joe Biden versus Donald Trump, and one of the two is speaking live, and you don't even run it for 5 minutes. Nothing on ABC and CBS. They're running commercials. They've got pundits on you've never heard of. It was ridiculous. But that is where we are today in America and the state of the media in this country. It was a big night for Donald Trump, and Nikki Haley is out, and this thing is on. College basketball. We won't spend any time on Missouri. They got drilled again. Their losing streak continues. Hunter Dickinson on Tuesday night against Kansas State was simply too much of a presence. He was too good defensively. And in some ways, things that don't show up in the box score, which is just altering missed shots on his massive number. You have 19 rebounds, 17 or 19 rebounds. Massive number of rebounds he got. Many of those were off shots that he altered. He doesn't get a block for every single one of them, but there is no statistic for altering shots. And Hunter Dickinson all night long altered missed shots from Kansas State as they tried to go inside and get him into foul trouble. They tried this early, and he sort of stayed away from getting any foul trouble early, and KU fell behind, and then his defense just got better and better and better. He was just an incredible presence that teams don't have. And while McCullough was good in this game, played terrific defense, much of it against Tyler Perry for Kansas State, who only had 2 points, the real story of this game was the presence of Hunter Dickinson, because other teams just don't have that. When he's on defensively like that, it's ridiculous. The other guy that played tremendous basketball for Kansas in this beatdown of K-State, which we called here, was Nick Timberlake, who was 6 out of 7 from the field, 4 out of 5 from three, 18 points total, and just couldn't miss. Just couldn't miss. And this was a big night for Kansas. We got to see the A game again. Kansas State is not good. They're not a tournament team. They should lose by 20 at Allen Fieldhouse. KU should beat teams like this decisively. But for Kansas fans, it was just terrific to see them play this way. For Kansas State, it was symptomatic of what their season is. Somehow in the box score, with 6.5 minutes to go in the first half, I texted a couple of buddies. I said, I cannot believe that the box score on my phone is showing that Kansas State only has 7 turnovers. Because I'd counted 12 at that point. They literally turned the ball over at such a rapid rate, the scorers cannot keep track of it. They can't. Because sometimes they turn it over, the other team gets the ball for a second, then it comes back to K-State very quickly. They steal the outlet pass or something. Then they turn it over again. They've done this in like 4 seconds. At one point, they had 3 turnovers in 12 seconds. And they don't count things like you're going up for an easy layup and the ball slips, just completely slips out of your hand and goes off the backboard and Hunter Dickinson gets the rebound. They call that a missed shot, not a turnover. To me, it's not. It's a turnover. You didn't do anything to keep this person, I think it was McNair, to keep him from scoring the basket. He just lost the handle on the ball and it slams off the backboard and KU gets it. That's a turnover, not a missed shot. Like, they literally can't count all the turnovers K-State commits. And if Jerome Tang doesn't fix that next year, if this is a turnover-prone team next year like they were this year, he's in real trouble. They'll never beat anybody or get to the tournament again if they cannot take care of the basketball. So we really saw in this game what Kansas can do well and what K-State doesn't. Now, that being said, I have very little hope for Kansas going on the road and beating Houston on Saturday. I think Houston will win that game. And I don't know that it will be that hard. Kansas is sort of like a lot of teams in college basketball. They're a one-trick pony. When they play at home, they can just be money. They beat UConn. They've beaten all the best teams. They've done some really great things. But, man, go out on the road and things get tough for them. What that means, neutral site in the NCAA tournament, I don't know. They're a big question mark, but they clearly have an A game that is very, very good. I also came across a disturbing story out of Kansas City, Missouri. The city government leaders under Mayor Quentin Lucas decided to make a short video for National Reading Day where they each do little snippets sitting in the same chair reading a book called Introducing Teddy to youngsters on National Reading Day. These are your city leaders in Kansas City, Missouri. Teddy is a couple of teddy bears, and one of them's named Errol, one of them's named Thomas, and Thomas decides he wants to be Tilly. He wants to become a girl. And that's what this whole book is about. And they're sitting there reading it, and it's I think the book is improperly named. It should be called Introducing Tilly, because ultimately what the book does is introduce Tilly. They're teaching young kids to be trans. They're teaching them about gender identity. They're teaching them about STEM. They're teaching about all these different things. This is all in the book, and this isn't a very long clip, but this will start and end with Quentin Lucas, and you'll hear his voice as they read a transgender guide for children read by your city leaders on National Reading Day.
What's wrong, Thomas? Talk to me.
If I tell you, said Thomas,
you might not be my friend anymore. Thomas is equal.
I will always be your friend, Thomas.
Thomas the Teddy took a deep breath.
I need to be myself, Errol.
In my heart, I've always known that I'm a girl Teddy, not a boy Teddy.
I wish my name was Tilly,
not Thomas.
Is that why you've been so sad? Errol asked.
I don't care if you're a girl Teddy or a boy Teddy.
What matters is that you are my friend.
You're the best friend a bear could have, said Tilly.
Now that you're feeling better, said Errol,
let's call our friend Ava.
Hi, Ava. Teddy and I are at the park. You want to come and play?
Sure, Errol. Let me just finish building my robot.
Ava believes in STEM, which is great.
Hi, Errol. Hi, Thomas. Ava called out as she sped toward them.
Hi, Ava, said Errol. Teddy has a new name.
Let me introduce you to Tilly.
Hey, that a girl, Tilly. Welcome to the new group of best friends as you have transitioned as a child from Teddy to Tilly. Such good stuff. Doritos is having trouble with all this. Doritos hired a person named Samantha Hudson who goes by them. This is a trans activist. And then they did an online ad in Spanish. And 2 days later fired them, Samantha Hudson, after it was learned that this trans posted depraved acts against a 12-year-old. Because they are minor attracted to children. They are Marxist, and they want to completely dissolve the nuclear family. And there were all kinds of vile things posted by this person. They don't learn. This is way worse than Bud Light. Way, way worse than Bud Light. And Doritos is under fire for an ad campaign and things that they are doing. And they have fired them. They, Samantha Hudson, gone from Doritos in a very, very disturbing looking video that you can see online. Sadly, we have reported another death at the hands of an illegal alien. This time it is Christopher Gadd, 27 years old, with a 2-year-old daughter. He is a state trooper in the great state of Wisconsin, was doing his job on Saturday night off to the side of the road on a highway in a grassy median monitoring traffic. When Raul Santana was running at a high speed in an SUV, passing trucks, passing vans, passing everyone, and skidded off the road and smashed into the state trooper's car, killing Christopher Gadd. Raul Santana is illegal from Mexico and Raul Santana has been in our custody multiple times and is in the system, but is out joyriding at ridiculous high rates of speed, veering off the road and smashing into a cop and killing a state trooper on Saturday night. This is out of control. And I present to you one Tyreek Hill as our final headline here before Patrick Tuohy joins us. Tyreek Hill has done a podcast where he says the Dolphins and the Ravens last year were both better than the Kansas City Chiefs. Keeping in mind the Dolphins lost twice to Kansas City and couldn't score in either one, and Tyreek Hill did bupkis in those two games. And of course the Ravens couldn't score either, and Lamar was Lamar in that game, and the Chiefs went undefeated against these teams on their way to winning the Super Bowl. And Tyreek Hill, with a straight face, is saying on a podcast, the best teams don't win the Super Bowl. Well, okay, what do the best teams do during the regular season? They beat the teams that matter. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Ravens and the Dolphins in the postseason. And that was that. Patrick Tuohy is going to join us here in just a moment. He's a senior fellow at the Show Me Institute and a columnist at the Kansas City Star. He's also the co-founder of Better Cities Project. He'll be appearing March 19th at the Kansas City Library, 4801 Main, with Nick Haines in a town hall and other panelists to discuss the vote on April 2nd for the stadiums, the 3/8 cent sales tax. We're going to have a great discussion about that and other great issues with Patrick Tuohy, one of the smartest people you'll ever hear from. It is brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, GMC, and Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty. They now have 0.9% financing on GMC Sierra at Roberts Robinson, online at robertsrobinson.com. GMC, we are professional grade. Advanced medical imaging, see what's inside at medimageks.com. If your doctor says go get an MRI or CT scan, why would you wait 6 weeks? Advanced medical imaging is outside your hospital chain, but they take your insurance. They'll get you in today or tomorrow. Why would you wait? See what's inside, medimageks.com. And Back 9 Development, developing the dunes in Lansing, just 8 lots. There's a pond in the middle of them. They're all 3 acres or larger. What a great place to build a custom home if you are interested in checking this out and getting out of the city, moving to a place a little more conservative, having a little more space for yourself. Contact TJ at Back 9 Development, 785-236-0161, or see his entire portfolio online at back9development.com. You're going to love Patrick Tuohy. This guy is on it, and we talk about just about everything. He's in studio with us right now on KKHI. Hit it!
The Kevin Keatsman Has Issues conversation is presented by North Kansas City Dental, online at nkcdental.com.
Patrick Tuohy joins us now, the senior fellow from the Show Me Institute, columnist for the Kansas City Star and co-founder of Better Cities Project. It is great to have you here in studio, sir. It's a pleasure to meet you. Congratulations on all the great work you're doing and the many hats that you're wearing these days.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you as well, and I'm always happy to talk to people about public policy issues. I think in Kansas City and probably around Missouri and the country, we don't do it enough. We talk at each other. We don't talk to each other. So I'm always grateful for the platform.
Thank you. You said something really interesting before we got started in that this vote is coming up April 2nd on the new ballpark and the issue for the Chiefs and Royals to get 3/8 cent sales tax for 40 years, which is kind of a big deal. And I'm underwhelmed by what they've shown me. It's amazing how little they have to show us to get people excited to go vote for them, but they do. And you said for you, it's not so much whether the vote passes or fails or whatever. That's not really your passion. Your passion is you want voters to be informed. I feel like that's missing in a lot of places. Why is that your passion?
Well, first of all, legally, the Show Me Institute is a 501c3. So we can talk about issues, but we can't advocate for candidates or yes or no votes on issues. But what I have learned, my time in Kansas City has taught me, is that really it's important that people understand exactly what they're getting into. As you said, too often we don't. We buy all the artistic renderings, all the promises, and time and again, whether it's the Power and Light District, whether it's Cerner and this vote, people trust maybe their leaders or they buy into the images they're being shown and they make decisions based on passion and not thinking. And so really what I want to do is make sure people have all the tools to make whatever decision they make, because too often in Kansas City, we don't. And it's not the fault of voters. Oftentimes we just trust the people that we've elected, and that's not a good idea.
I think, and I don't want to speak for you, the crux of what you argue and say here is this is never really good business. It's not new business. We're moving it from one place to another, so there's no real new business or new revenue. The Royals ballpark village was underwhelming. I didn't see a ballpark village in their renderings. The Chiefs are doing nothing. I mean, they're building like covers over walkways and stuff so people don't get wet in case it rains, I guess. I don't know exactly what it is the Chiefs are doing for $800 million because I was underwhelmed by that. But your argument is this is never about business. If people love their teams enough that you just want to give them money and go vote yes, I guess people can do that. This is democracy, but it never really is good business. Is that correct?
That's right. There's no return for taxpayers. So again, if the mayor or the teams want to say, hey, we love our team so much that we just want to give them $1 billion, that would be honest. But when they start saying it's going to create jobs, when they start saying it's going to benefit the county, none of those things are true. And we know that both in Kansas City and from research around the country. We're talking about a community benefits agreement. We don't know what that is. The best community benefits agreement that the Royals and Chiefs could strike with the county would be to pay your taxes, pay all your taxes, right, and we'll decide where that money goes. We've elected lots of people to help us decide where that money ought to go. But the idea that you're going to keep your tax money and give us a pittance, pennies on the dollar, and somehow we should feel grateful for that, is ridiculous. And also, I think what people need to understand is it supplants the political structure we've built to disperse taxpayer money. So again, we've got councils, we've got boards, we've got laws that say where this money ought to go. Giving a whole bunch of it to a private enterprise and then asking them to give a little bit back based on an independent community benefits really gets in the way of this whole political structure that we've built. What the Chiefs and Royals should be doing is conducting their own business, making millions, billions of dollars if they can, and then paying their taxes like everyone else is expected to.
Okay, so I don't like to get real wonky on policy or anything, but I'm a huge anti-tax guy. Like I feel like maybe you're more anti-tax than I am. And here's where I kind of separate taxes. For me, there is a different, like I think an income tax is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. We went 150 years in this country without one. And then all of a sudden we have one, and then it just got out of control, rampant. I don't know why you would punish people for working. I've never understood that. To me, there is a difference with a sales tax and an income tax. My passion is getting income taxes lower because I've worked my whole life. I was taught to work. I was taught you're not going to have anything if you don't work, and don't ever expect anybody to hand you a damn thing your whole life. That's what I was taught. So I've lived by those rules, and I've always paid my taxes. I think income taxes are outrageous. I think they're stupid in so many ways. And then I see a sales tax like this and I go, okay, if I love the Royals, if I think it would be good for downtown or wherever, I could be on board with that because at least it's my choice whether I want to go spend money in Jackson County. And I don't live there and I'm not low income. And I recognize those people as well, that that's where they buy their groceries or go get gas for their car or whatever. And that they have to pay it because they live there. So for me, this one's just a little different. I'm never a gray area on the fence guy, but I'm sort of gray on this one. I think what really bothers me, Patrick, I would vote no right now. And the reason I would vote no is I just think the Royals and Chiefs have underwhelmed me. They have looked like they have no idea what they're doing on any of this. They're trotting Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Bobby Witt Jr., and all these guys, Andy Reid, out there in all these ads, and people are just going to vote yes. They have not earned this tax yet, have they? Have they shown you anything that you think they've earned it?
No. So again, I come at this looking at the research that's out there, and certainly the research is unanimous, is that these big projects, whether they are Stadia or something else, never perform for the people who live in those areas. So then you might say, all right, do they have a different take? Are they offering something more and different than what projects have in the past around the country? They haven't. The research that I see elsewhere perfectly applies here in Kansas City. It's a big cash grab for them. It's not good for taxpayers. I certainly am not privy to their campaign and their larger plans, but it seems like we've been talking about this for a few years. And I am really... really underwhelmed by what yes. they're putting together.
Yes.
I mean, first of all,
that's maybe my bigger issue is, okay, what if I do want to vote yes and think the Royals, okay, being downtown would be kind of cool. I still am not that impressed with what they're putting forth.
I think the press conference that the Chiefs held a few days ago made it clear that we are having this vote only because John Sherman wants to build a Royal Stadium downtown. And the Royals, the Chiefs seem to have quickly cobbled together really artist renderings. That's all. There seems to be no thought, certainly not 2 years worth of thought, but the Royals kind of said to the Chiefs, hey, we need you on this. Let's go buddy-buddy. And so the Chiefs are backing them up. But I don't see really any purpose to this other than John Sherman wants to become a property developer downtown, and he's using the Royals to generate business in other industries for himself.
For himself, and put other businesses, local businesses, out of business. This will actually be bad for business holders downtown, won't it? Business owners, some?
Well, certainly the ones that are there now in that footprint, right. their owners will be happy to sell out. The renters who are running liquor stores and bars will be put out. And then I imagine, and what I've heard is that some of the shop owners that are in the vicinity don't care for it either, because it's going to change. It's going to change the community. It's going to change what they've grown and built organically. You mentioned a minute ago, kind of sales tax versus property tax versus income tax. There are arguments to be made for and against each of them. Each tax kind of distorts the market. So when you have a high income tax, you encourage people to maybe work less or to work from other places. When you have a sales tax, you encourage people to shop elsewhere or to change their behavior. The property tax is least distortionary of all those three. So generally, I think people would say if you're going to pay for things, the property tax is the most stable. You cannot, after all, pick up your piece of property and move. Of course, Kansas City has its own challenges because we have two states that share our area. But the problem is this is just a cash grab. And other places argue about whether or not they should offer subsidies to developers. Keep your property tax, right. Keep sales income. Here in Kansas City, we're going to have that debate in a few months if the vote goes yes. And we're actually creating a tax to give to these guys. It's a double whammy. And again, I would love to be impressed by what they're promising us, but the idea that we've been talking about this for years and they have nothing is shocking. Like really shocking.
It really is. And God bless the Chiefs. They're along for the ride. I've said that all along. They've had no real opinions on any of this, but they're like, if the Royals are going to put this on the ballot, we want our half. We'll take $500 million if you're going to hand it to us. So they'll find a way to spend it. I felt like the Royals did that in 2006 when this passed. I didn't like what they did with Kauffman Stadium. I thought the renovation of Arrowhead was pretty good. The club level, all the things that it created, there were some real new things for Chiefs fans and revenue generating for the team. The Royals, I don't live far from Smiley's driving range. I don't know if you're familiar with what that is. It's a golf driving range, and they got these little metal shed roof things over Smiley's is a Kansas City institution. The Royals built Smiley's driving range in their outfield. That's what they did. It's a metal roof. There was a merry-go-round, a little ballpark that nobody went to. And after the first season, nobody ever walked out there. They literally built something that nobody used because they didn't know how to spend the money. But we'd voted yes by then, and here came the money. I'm not sure I trust them. Are you 100% sure the Royals, if this passes, are going to build that stadium right where they say they are? Because I'm not so sure they won't change their mind and go somewhere else.
Well, I don't know.
Right.
In 2006, at the very least, we had the community benefits agreement. We had the leases. We had all that stuff signed. We knew what we were getting. Now, we don't know any of that stuff. And you'll recall that Frank White, the county executive, originally vetoed putting the tax on the April 2 calendar and was overridden. I wonder if the Royals and Chiefs now regret getting that because they haven't been able to wow us. Maybe they needed more time to build a campaign. Again, I'm not privy to their conversations, but I'm not only unimpressed with the plan they're putting out, but the people they've had representing them. And so I've worked in politics and policy for years, and I get in public policy debates all the time. And I always want to understand the best argument the other side could make, because I don't want to be caught flat-footed, and I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. But this is really shocking to me that an organization that has the resources they have and the time that they have had to put this together is, I keep waiting, like, when is the big shocking new thing coming out? And it's not coming, and we're getting closer to April 2. And again, I don't know how the vote will turn out, but I've never been in a campaign where I'm just completely underwhelmed to this degree. Right.
Well, the Chiefs have been focused on the World Cup. That's what they've been doing for 2 years. They got to tear out part of the bowl of Arrowhead. They're ripping seats out. They're tearing their stadium up. They had to do that all on their own. Now they get this thing passed and they go, hey, because I've been asking forever, how are we paying for the World Cup?
Yeah.
Who's paying for this? Where's this money coming from? We're going to rip, like, they're taking 15 rows out of Arrowhead that aren't coming back. So they're going to take them out if this passes, and that's where they're going to build those suites down on the field, because they will have just conveniently ripped them out for the World Cup to make the soccer field bigger.
Right.
That's all their plan was World Cup. Here comes a vote. We want another World Super Bowl. Let's go. They're going to vote yes. They clearly have star power, and we're going to see. We're just going to be inundated with commercials the next few weeks from these people. There's no question.
Yeah, no, I think that's all they've got is postcards and commercials. But let me ask you, people are worried that if they vote no, the teams will move. Now, I am ignorant of kind of the ownership and their backgrounds. I can't imagine the Chiefs will move. The Hunts may not live in Kansas City, but they certainly have roots. You know, John Sherman said when he bought the team that he was a lifelong Kansas Cityan, but I understand, you know, money walks. I don't know that either team is serious about moving, but they love having that chip. Threat.
Yeah.
That's kind of a question for you as a longtime observer.
It usually takes about 3 no votes for someone to actually move. Mm-hmm. And then it's like steps. You're going up the steps. Now there's a real threat. Uh-oh, we better pass this one. They're nowhere near that. I don't think either one of them is going to leave. I think, and this is a different, in 2006, it was scarier. The Royals were coming off a period where they were the worst in their history. Small market teams couldn't compete. There was no balance in baseball. There's better balance now between the payrolls. It's not perfect, but it's better. The Royals won a World Series in 2015. So they're not completely inept. So the business of baseball is better than it was 20 years ago. I really don't talk to anybody that thinks they're moving. I know that's in the back of people's minds. I just hear people say, we love our teams. Why not vote yes? Which, whatever. If you're going to go spend the money on your sales tax, spend it. And for most people, they hear 0.375 and think, oh, that's nothing.
No, that's exactly right. And it's one of the truisms in policy, which is you concentrate the benefit of a tax, so it goes to one or two people, and you spread out the cost. So the people who are going to make a boatloads of money have every interest in going to every city council meeting, every hearing, and applying their case, whereas you and I, who are stuck with a fraction of a cost every time we go shopping, don't really think a big deal of it. And so we vote yes. And then you end up where Kansas City is right now, where in some parts of the city, our sales tax is over 10%. We are getting nickel and dimed. And it is one more reason why people like yourself choose not to live and shop in the city. And this is the bigger issue that Kansas City has to wrestle with, which is we are in a competitive market like any team. We can't pick up and move. We are stuck with Kansas City. We've got to convince people who live in Lenexa, live in Olathe, live in Raytown, Liberty, Kearney, Lee's Summit, that we are a good place to live. You want to live here. You want to do business here. And we're not doing that. And decisions like this only make us less competitive. A friend of mine pointed out that owning a stadium, owning a team, is sort of like owning a swimming pool. You would rather your neighbor own it, because you can go and swim every day and you don't have to pay for any of the cost. And so I really consider, is it better if the teams want to move out to Legends and build a stadium there, maybe as a Kansas Cityan or a Jackson County resident, I'm like, I'm okay with that. I can still go to the game and I don't have to worry about the pain in the ass of paying for everything. So I don't know that I'm too worried about them moving, frankly, because having them here clearly is not a benefit. It's a cost. It's the pride argument. It's the love of the team. I get that. That is quantifiable. That may get them across the finish line, but I hate the argument that they are telling us, which is, I know you love us, but if you want us to love you, you're going to have to pay
for it. That's exactly right.
That's really ugly.
And you wrote a great piece at Show Me Institute's website about Mark Donovan in the news conference last week. Your headline said, Mark Donovan, the Chiefs president, accidentally speaks the truth. When he basically sat there in front of everybody and says, yeah, we're going to put some new paint on Arrowhead here, but we're not building anything around it because this land's a giant floating turd, basically. He basically just told the whole world this land sucks.
He did. And he gave lie to the claim that stadiums drive economic development. It's been there for decades. There are no hotels or restaurants nearby. I don't know that it's impossible to have them. They seem to have a great location, but you need a lot of work and investment to make it. The mere presence of a stadium doesn't do it. The mere presence of a stadium downtown isn't itself going to drive any development. And in fact, to the degree that we subsidize it, it's going to end up costing us more money.
The most shocking thing, and I've covered pro sports for 40 years, and they are a lot like politicians. They will just flat lie to you. And you can spot it. You can almost always spot it because they act differently when they say something you know isn't true. And they always use comma right. At the end of their sentence, they'll say something right. And I'm like, boy, he just lied to me. Because he's like, right? No, not right. So they're running this bad batch concrete theory out there. This is the funniest thing I've ever heard. These stadiums were built at the same time. And the Royals have bad concrete and the Chiefs have good concrete? And the Chiefs back that up somehow. How can you do that?
First of all, that press conference, like I mentioned earlier, told me, okay, the Chiefs really have no interest in this. They're just going along. This is being driven by John Sherman. You know, some other people's reactions, and I felt this too, is, wow, he really thinks we're stupid. or they really, in their internal discussions, don't have kind of the red team who kind of listens and says, well, if I were on the outside, here's how I would counter that. They're all in this echo chamber. Everybody gives them whatever they want. Maybe they've never had to make a substantive argument because when they did, they came up with this, which again is embarrassing. I mean, it frankly is embarrassing that they are spending all this money and they don't have any professional or competent communications that are helping them vet their messages. It's, again, as I said before, it's shocking. I keep waiting for the grand slam argument, the really powerful argument, and I'm not hearing it. And we're getting closer and closer to April 2. And again, maybe they feel like they don't have to, but it's getting close. And this is really unimpressive.
I used to say, and I really was combative with Carl Peterson when he was general manager of the Chiefs and president. I used to say it is so easy to make money running an NFL team that you literally could put two bananas in front of Carl Peterson or hire a monkey to take two bananas and put them right there at his desk and say, should we sign this player or not sign this player? Should we raise ticket prices? Like any question you were going to ask about the Chiefs and see what the yes or no banana, which one the monkey picked up first, and you'd still make a profit. And I still believe that. To prove that point that it's everywhere in the NFL, you'll love this. Yesterday, the Jacksonville Jaguars, as their marketing team, their PR department, was going all over social media celebrating a player for happy birthday today with the balloon things that explode and all this stuff, all these cool things. The coach was cutting him. They literally cut a player at the same time their marketing team was celebrating his birthday online. Now, these are big organizations that are sloppy and a little bit lazy and don't communicate. I thought we saw that with the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are so popular, it doesn't matter. They're really good at football and that's all anybody cares about. And they really, there's an intrinsic value to this winning the Chiefs have done and what's happened in this town. You can feel a difference. People that didn't watch football before or whatever, they feel just better about where they live. And you know what? That does make the city a better place. I don't know that it's reducing any crime or anything like that, but it does make it a better place to live.
Yes, I understand that it is a value. I don't know how to quantify that value.
Exactly right.
I don't know that people are moving here because of it. I don't know that businesses are moving here. I don't know that more people are shopping. They may be buying Chiefs jerseys, but you can get those in South Olathe.
Sure.
So I don't know what the value is, but until somebody gives me the numbers, $1 billion in tax revenue is inflating the cost of feeling good about yourself. Now listen, you know, I'm a conservative. I'm a small government, free market advocate. I think that team owners should be able to do whatever they want with their own money. If he wants to move that stadium downtown and he can get the people to sell to him, that is wonderful. It's when he starts asking the public to chip in. That's when my kind of, you know, free market rankles get up. And this particular argument, there is no political ideology that should be okay with this. If you are a conservative and believe in small government, you should be against this. If you are a leftist and believe in social justice anything, you should be against this. And if you're a libertarian and just think that people should be able to do what they want with their own money, you should be against this. It is only the power of the Chiefs and their success that is going to drive this. And then maybe that answers my question. Feeling good, a Super Bowl is worth $1 billion in tax revenue. We will find out in a few weeks, but it will be only that. It won't be a good argument. It won't be a good plan. It won't be brilliant marketing. It'll just be, we feel good about ourselves. Please take our money.
Yeah, I think the irony of the thing is both owners are conservative and they wouldn't vote yes for anybody else. If you and I wanted to start a business and we put it on the ballot, they wouldn't vote for us.
Well, that's
Kevin and Patrick are starting a business. We want a 3/8 cent tax. There's no way Clark Hunt's voting for that.
It's it is amazing what's happened in Kansas City. When I first moved here, someone pointed out to me years ago that, and maybe this is true everywhere around the country, that, you know, you get your kind of political leadership and then you get your kind of soft leadership. It's the wealthy families that operate in that town and they present some sort of power. Maybe it's just influence, right? Maybe it's they run the cocktail parties that everybody wants to go to. But what's happened in Kansas City, this person pointed out to me, is all those people have gotten their own sweetheart deals, yeah. Subsidies, TIF, abatements, all sorts of stuff. And so they are less likely to say no to the next person. And so what happens in Kansas City is you get these really bad ideas and kind of everybody knows that they're bad ideas, but nobody wants to yuck someone else's yum, right? Nobody yeah. wants to stop their sweetheart deal. The exception recently has been the Hall family, which has, you know, said this TIF is killing us. These subsidies are killing us. But of course, Crown Center was the biggest recipient of right. TIF back in the day. Now that it's run out, they're speaking freely. But everyone else, this kind of dirties everyone's hands and it co-opts everybody's decision. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, there's a lot of glad handing and things that happen. The biggest question I got over the last week was, I'm just curious your thought. It was a bad look for Governor Parson in Missouri to commute the sentence of Britt Reid. But I don't know that he did anything wrong. There were 39 total that he commuted or ended entirely. And I read up a little bit on this. I'm no expert, but it seems like a lot of people that do what he did serve about half their sentence, not all of it, but it had kind of a bad look to it. Do you think there was anything behind the scenes that we don't know about between the Chiefs and the governor here to get Britt Reid out of jail?
I have no idea. Yeah. You know, it could be an innocent decision, one name on a list of others. But again, I wonder if the governor has kind of a red team internally, right. which looks through this stuff and says, this may not be a good idea because of these things. You kind of have to have that internal no vote, that person on the inside, which who plays the opposition. I'm accused of doing that inside the Show Me Institute. Okay. People inside kind of roll their eyes when I say, have we thought about this? But you do need that person. And I don't think the governor had that this time.
I think maybe October or November would have been a better time for him to do that. Right?
Maybe.
When the season's going on and he's going out and all that maybe would have been a better, just my thoughts, would have been a better time. Okay, before we get into what you do at all the places that you work, and I really want to talk to you about the Star, because I'm fascinated by what the Star is doing. They're trying, I think, to put an olive branch out there toward conservatives. I just want to get your just general thoughts on where we are politically in this country. We're seeing all these lawsuits against Trump. We know what the left is doing. This Jamie Raskin yesterday, an hour after they announced the 9-0 Supreme Court decision in favor of Trump, he says they've got another thing they're circling back with and they're going after him at the federal level, trying to get Congress to pass a law and do this and that. It's gotten worse every year as I've gotten older. I don't know, has politics ever been this rough in the United States of America? And where do you see the state of politics in this country right now?
So there is something called presentism, which because we're all living in the present, we think that this is the best or the right. worst we've ever been. Politics have been ugly in the United States since the founding. You can find online, Reason Magazine did kind of a video of Adams running against Jefferson and the things they said about each other, and it was really ugly. We have had members of Congress dueling each other, beating each other with sticks. So I don't know that this is the ugliest.
We've never had 91 indictments against a former president. I mean, well, we're in completely uncharted water here.
No, that's true. But Trump himself was a bit of a mold breaker. My answer is that this is why I like to focus on municipal politics.
I understand.
I like to focus on local stuff because it's quantifiable. You can be left or right and still angry that the potholes aren't being fixed. I honestly don't know what to make about national politics because people on the left and right who are really smart and I've trusted for a long time are suddenly saying really crazy things.
Yes.
And I think we've kind of we've allowed the craziness of the moment to infect us. I want more people take a deep breath, think about what you're going to say, and ultimately care about what happens after this next thing, right? So we all get excited about an election. Think about what happens after that election. We all get excited about a particular president. All right, well, all the things you do to this president are going to be done to the next president. You're setting precedent. Yeah. And I want everybody to settle down. I love that people have very strong feelings, but I feel that maybe because of social media, maybe because of podcasting, maybe because we are all plugged into each other and get immediate feedback from hot takes, that we're not giving ourselves the time to digest. My father was a career State Department employee. He was a Foreign Service officer. And he told me that when he would get upset, he would sit down in his electric typewriter, hammer out a very angry note, pull the paper out, and throw it in the trash. There was no accidental send button.
Right.
He couldn't have sent it around the universe. That's valuable.
That's
sometimes
cool.
When I write something, I'll let it sit for 24 hours and come back to it. I am always on Facebook, and I'm not always on Facebook and Twitter, but when I am on Facebook and Twitter, I am constantly telling myself, no, you don't need to say this. This isn't helpful. This doesn't move the ball forward. Keep your mouth shut. And I never wake up the next day and say, gosh, I wish I had tweeted that. I wish right. I had posted that on Facebook.
Said no one ever.
Right. So again, I don't know what to make of it. In a few years, we'll have some context maybe to what's going on. But my fear is that we are so breathless because we can get such immediate feedback that we are starting to play a role, the resistance. And it's not good for us. Again, I don't know that it's the worst. It's different. I think after a few years, we will kind of learn how to deal with social media. We will learn not everything you read online is true, and we will have understood what this next technology is. You know, the printing press was just as scandalous. People could print anything. People were afraid that reading would impact how we thought and interacted, and it certainly did. So again, this is, I think, an iteration on a theme. It is, social media is impressive, but I'm not willing to say that it's the worst we've ever been. It's just different.
We've thought for a long time that America as a whole is a little bit right of center. Do you still believe that?
I think even very liberal people are ultimately conservative. And I mean, not necessarily politically conservative, but hey, let's take things slow. Let's settle down. Let's consider the impact of what we're advocating for. And let's, let maybe states advocate for something and let them do it. What's happening now is people are rushing for so much change so quickly that it's disconcerting. It's disconcerting even friends of mine that are liberal. I think, for example, of legalized marijuana, I think it would have been great if we had allowed Colorado to do it on their own for a few years and collect some data, but we all rushed into it. And now we're realizing there are some real impacts here that we didn't anticipate, and maybe this wasn't a good idea.
Thailand just ended it. They went 3 years and said, that's it, we're done, it's killing the kids.
And Oregon is dealing with kind of their more dramatic drug legalization. So again, the conservative argument isn't necessarily do this, not that, but if we're going to do something, let's do it slowly, let's consider it, let's not everybody rush in at once. And there is a part of that conservatism that is exists across ideologies.
Quentin Lucas, I think, is just about to turn 40. Is he 39 years old, something like that?
I don't actually know.
38, 39, 40, somewhere right in there. Let's fast forward 25 years. Let's say Quentin Lucas is 65. What does his resume or biography look like at age 65?
Oh, my goodness.
You knew there was going to be some questions today, Patrick.
I have no idea. I will tell you this. I don't know that our past mayors would have been able to predict their resume afterwards. I recall Sly James, our most recent former mayor, spent an awful lot of time in Washington, D.C. during the 2016 election. Funderburk maybe thought he was going to get a second term, and who knows what his career would have been. Mayor Barnes, I think, she said at one point when they were subsidizing power and light that in 10 years, everyone's going to think we're a genius. No one thinks she's a genius for that policy. So again, I don't know. I can't predict, the weather. I can't predict what's going to happen in Kansas City post April 2. I certainly don't know But he's, look, he's bright. He's ambitious. He is very charming and engaging. I think he could have a bright future, but man, I just don't know what happens.
I'm going to say Congress, then cabinet member, a failed run at president, and a huge job the last 10 years of his career making hundreds of millions of dollars for either a think tank or a private company or some tech organization or something like that.
I am sure he'd love to have that, that be his future. Yeah.
Except for the part where he doesn't become president or get on the ballot.
It seems to have a happy ending from what you've
not too bad. Yeah, not too
from
bad
what you've spelled
him.
Out. But again, you know, De Gaulle said that the what cemeteries are filled with indispensable men, people that we think are super important that turns out we don't need them. I'm more interested in figuring out who can I trust, who can I trust in the long term, whose career should do better. I like talking about policy and what should happen. I'm never good at talking about what actually will happen.
I like that. All right. Tell me what's happening at the Kansas City Star. I remember doing a podcast a few months ago. I got a survey from the Star wanting to feedback, and I fill things like this out. And I'm like, you know, I'm just a dude here. I don't know that they know who I am or what I'm doing, whoever's reading this. I don't know what department it goes to or anything. But I'm like, come on, a little fairness would go a long way because y'all are just playing this thing hard left. And I still think there's some sort of expectation when you go to a site, especially a newspaper with a city name in it. We know all the great newspapers around the country with cities at the front of them, that there's something fair about what they're doing. And I don't feel like the Star had been very fair the last few years in any way. And I think Trump brought a lot of that on to them and turned them into that. They call you. They want you to write columns for them. You're, as I mentioned to you, my mom and all her friends are reading it. And they're like, they would really like the Star to have more fair or even coverage. What do you think the Star is trying to do? And what's it been like for you to work for the Star and write columns for them?
So my experience with the Star has for years been very, very pleasant. You know, years ago when I was at the Show Me Institute, they would publish my columns more often than not. I don't know that they ever said no to me. Certainly I would say, hey, I'm thinking about writing about this, and they would welcome that. At the beginning of this year, they offered me the opportunity to write an opinion column for them once a year. I love it. I love newspapers. I study the media in college.
Once a week?
That's right. I write once a week. And my experience has been pleasant. They have never edited me substantively. Sometimes they will say, can you link to this or can you flesh out this argument? But it's never been hostile. And so I am grateful for the opportunity to speak to their audience, whether it's left or right. And I'm always more interested in writing for people that don't share my views than preaching to the choir. And so the Star is a great opportunity for me to talk to people, try to bring them along, or at least give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, they're not corrupt, they're not evil, they're not stupid. These are people who want the best for Kansas City, they want the best for the country, and I want to see if I can maybe get them to think differently about issues. As for what's going on inside the Star, you know, I don't work in the building. I submit my columns and I get edits back, if any. But they've been great to work for, and I think it's a complete honor to write for a newspaper.
What should our audience here know about the Show Me Institute? You write frequently for them, some shorter, some longer. What should they know about the work Show Me Institute does and your role there?
So the Show Me Institute is a state-based think tank. We are generally free market. People call us libertarian, but I don't know that that exactly describes us. But certainly we are a free market think tank. We study public policy at the state level, at the municipal level. And we want people, we want a limited government that allows people to flourish so that they perhaps need less government involvement in the first place. We are approaching our 20th anniversary. Most of my colleagues work out of the St. Louis office, but it is a really impressive group of people to work with. And as I told you before, it's, you know, we have these conference calls, we visit, and we think, what are the things that we want to focus on? What are the issues that we can add value to? Our education team is fantastic. And again, it's really just, let's look at what are the opportunities to improve Missouri. It isn't always going to government. Sometimes people will ask, well, we've got a problem. What can government do to fix it? And I want to tell them, you're already wrong. You should say, here's a problem. How can it be fixed? Maybe government plays a role. Too often the answer should not be government. But it is, it's kind of like the 2 a.m. Session we all had in college where you say, you know, what should we do about this? But it's an organization that does it 24 hours a day or at least 40 hours a week. And it's a great team. I'm really happy to be back there and talking to them again.
And you do a lot of radio and TV appearances. And coming up March 19th, Patrick's going to be at the Kansas City Library, 4801 Main, with Nick Haynes, from public television. You're going to have a town hall on the stadium.
Yeah, right? I'm excited
about
that.
Out for an hour. It's going to be like a Q&A with you and him, and people ask any questions they want, or how's it going to be?
So there's a panel discussion. There will be four people on the panel. I don't know who else is confirmed, but I will be there. They will have, I'm sure, yes and no representatives. And, you know, Nick Haynes knows how to put these on. So he will have a conversation. We will get to react to what each other says. And I'm sure there will be questions submitted from the audience. Again, the Truman Room at the Plaza Library seats about 400, I think. And they will air it on the 22nd, I believe. So it's an important policy discussion. The library and KCPT have been great partners at involving Kansas Cityans in big policy issues. And I'm looking forward to that as well.
That's March 19th at the Kansas City Library, 4801 Main. You can sign up and go. It's free. But I do think you got to sign up in advance for the town hall, and Nick Haynes will be moderating that. It's fair to say Nick is a very fair man, isn't it?
I really like Nick, yeah. And I've known him for years. I've been on Week in Review, not recently, and of course I was on Ruckus, and he's just great. Always high energy, always in a good mood, and I think very fair, and not just professionally fair. Like, I think as an individual, he wants people to speak their mind, to be constructive, and have that back and forth. It suits him well in that job.
It is a shame that someone so fair stands out so much. Like, it shouldn't. There should be so many people like Nick Haynes, and there just aren't.
Look, I'll give all the credit to Nick for being the person he is. I don't know
that he's that fair.
No, he's okay. He's certainly fair. I'm trying to think of people who, well, now you may have a point.
Say that. Everybody would say that about it, wouldn't they?
No, I think so. There are people in broadcasting in Kansas City who maybe don't do such a good job of making sure both sides are represented. How's that? He certainly does.
Yeah, and the other TV stations don't do a whole lot of politics. And they go out and cover stories and do things, but they don't do a whole lot of these things. Channel 4 has one show on the weekend, I think, and so there's some things out there. But I'm just fascinated. I'm more fascinated sometimes with broadcasting than I am with sports or politics or any of this other stuff. I love broadcasting. You co-founded Better Cities Project. Help me out here. What you're doing there. What exactly is Better Cities Project?
So it's similar to any kind of state-based think tank like the Shoebe Institute, but we really wanted to focus on cities, the needs of cities, the needs of municipalities. I love writing about Kansas City and St. Louis, but
we're really struggling in cities across this country. Are we not?
We are. And part of the problem is that, you know, conservatives will talk about local government, but we don't talk to local government. We too often assume the worst. In my experience, the people who work in City Hall, the people whose job it is to plow the roads and fix the potholes, desperately want to do that. But there are all sorts of structural impediments. You know, maybe the city council kind of stuck its finger in the air and said, we don't think we're going to have a bad winter, so we're going to cut your snowplow budget. And then, of course, you know, you get 6 feet of snow that winter. It is not enough for conservatives or free market advocates to say to City Hall, you can do better. They often know that, but there are real structural obstacles for them to do that. It may be really bad contracts. It may be an inability to hire. It may be simply that they don't have the money in their budget. And so what we wanted to do was listen as much as we talk, and then provide them with the good policy or the better policy that has been done in other cities around the country. In my experience, Kansas City or any city is more likely to follow the lead of another similar city than they are to do something because the Brookings Institution says so, or because Heritage or Cato say so. There are plenty of studies that Brookings has done for Kansas City that says you are giving away too much money in subsidies. You have got to, you know, strengthen your tax base that the city doesn't follow. But maybe if we say, here's what Tulsa is doing, or here's what Omaha is doing, and you ought to follow suit, hopefully that is better. But I don't think it's fair to say that the people who work in City Hall, whether elected or career, are corrupt or they don't know what they're doing. They've got real struggles. And sometimes the best intentioned people get elected and then find out, oh, it's not as easy. So we wanted to engage with them, treat them well, and say, help us understand what your struggles are, and then we will try to give you the best research, the best policy to fix that.
I'll say this tongue-in-cheek, sort of, but sort of true. We'll end it here. If there's no corruption in Kansas City, Missouri right now, it's the first time ever. So that's awesome. And it's good to hear you say that the corruption is down. You're such an interesting man, and you're doing great for all the people in Missouri and Kansas City. And I can't thank you enough for coming by and saying hello today. It's a pleasure to meet you, and just keep crushing it, man.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. Thank you.
Well, what a delight that was to have Patrick Tuohy in studio. One of the smartest people you'll ever meet, and really cool that he's writing for the Kansas City Star. And so many people, like my mom, who are still subscribers to the Star, want a little balance in their coverage. I can't give the Star too much credit, but at least they're reaching out to somebody that they know is a smart guy. He's not a pot stirrer. He's very cerebral and thought-provoking from a conservative or libertarian point of view, and I think you're going to enjoy reading his columns. Go to showmeinstitute.org and check him out if you want to see everything that he does there, and check out the Better Cities Project. He's easy to find. Patrick Tuohy, his last name is spelled T-U-O-H-E-Y. If you want to read everything he does, he is terrific, and we are pleased to have had him here on the podcast, and I'm sure we'll have him on again during the election season, as it is such a big year. Patrick's appearance on KKHI was brought to you by MyPillow, online at MyPillow.com. Don't forget your promo code is KKHI. Right now, half-price sheets. The Giza Dream sheets are half-price with the promo code KKHI. It is the maximum promo code offered at MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. Every special they have, the maximum discount is the promo code KKHI. MyPillow.com with a giant sheet sale right now. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is online at AdvantageTPC.com. Spring is sprung. The critters are coming. Defend your house from those pests with Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Look, we've known Aaron Wolcott and his family for over 20 years. These are great Kansas Cityans. They've got an awesome local business. Their customer service is the best. I don't care what company you currently have or if you try to do this yourself, you're going to be thrilled if you hire Advantage. Make the switch today to Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Their customer service is so good. AdvantageTPC.com. And Ideal Health is regenerative medicine. Let your body's tissue and blood work for you to make you feel better. If you've got chronic pain and haven't been able to get rid of it with a regular MD, why wouldn't you visit Dr. Kip Van Camp and ask him about all the great work he's done? He's been published in multiple journals about stem cell, tissue research, blood spinning, patch therapy. He's a double board certified interventional radiologist, and he has dedicated his life to this new regenerative medicine. It's idealhealthkc.com. That's idealhealthkc.com. Appreciate you listening to the podcast. Don't forget to hit the like or follow button. If you'd like to sign up to become a patron, go to kksissues.com, click on Become a Patron, and you'll get all the info on where our big patron party is going to be March 28th to watch the Royals and the Twins open the baseball season. We're going to have a heck of a party. I'm buying a taco bar for everyone. Come as you are, bring a guest, bring a friend, but you got to be a patron to find out where we are, what we're doing. So if you'd like to sign up, become a patron, go to kkhasissues.com.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.